Transformation of America by Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Chapter 22, My Contribution. U.S. and Mexican relations were flourishing in the successes of NAFTA's groundwork, while political differences pertaining to Nicaragua remained a minor point of contention. Since the Catholic Vatican's intelligence arm of Jesuits were working closely with U.S. intelligence to usher in the New World Order, they used their established influence in Mexico and Nicaragua to provide a common ground for diplomatic relations. My dual mind control victimization by the CIA and the Jesuits since childhood, and my previous diplomatic relations in Mexico thrust me into the role of messenger and prostitute to Nicaragua's Daniel Ortega. Were President Reagan's Nicaraguan freedom fighters fighters of freedom or for freedom? My mind-controlled existence rendered me incapable of pondering such questions. Nevertheless, I had a programmed passion burning in my bosom for the Contras, as was patriotically instilled through torture, when I embarked on my peacekeeping mission to Nicaragua for Reagan till in the summer of 1985, I boarded NCL as usual to reach my appointed destination. Since Nicaragua was not a port of call for NCL, I flew from the Yucatan of Mexico to a remote military airstrip in Managua. It was in this small mountaintop clearing that I met with Commandant Daniel Ortega, as had been arranged through the Vatican. I was dressed seasonably in shorts, with my long blonde hair locked back in a French braid. Ortega's attire, too, was reflective of the casual air to meeting. His tan military uniform had worn thin, and was free of any protocol insignias. The dark, rose-colored sunglasses he peered through apparently had not changed his somber view of the noble cause he claimed to represent. A man of few words, he greeted me with an order, "Come with me." I rode with him in silence as he drove a jeep the short distance across the airstrip to a small, near, two-story, white, frame house. As we came to a stop in front of the house, Ortega said in a sad, slow voice, "I have needs like any man. But I feel like a whore myself for accepting your president's offer." His bedroom was clean and functional, with numerous assault weapons scattered round. I did not see any modern conveniences or personal effects, but Ortega seemed to be at home in his surroundings. Ortega's demeanor was that of a man who had abstained from sex longer than most in his political position. As he slowly unbuttoned his shirt, I noticed a Catholic medallion with the secret Jesuit ascension/decision symbol on it, a common accessory among Jesuit spooks. He sat in a wicker chair as I followed his silent lead in gratifying him orally. While he chain-smoked cigarettes, I sat in front of him on the floor and relayed Reagan's message to him as programmed. I began, "President Reagan has sent me as a messenger of peace." He casually interrupted, slowly looking me up and down, "I'd like to have a peace in a few more minutes." I continued, "Your people have endured many hardships throughout their existence. He, Reagan, only wants to help. The American people want to see peace and freedom in your land. Mexican and U.S. relations are growing stronger by the day, and it is imperative that we resolve your conflict in order to resolve our own with the Mexican government. We have come to the agreement with Mexico that the Nicaraguan conflict must be resolved for the sake of your people as well as our own. I am here on a peacekeeping mission representative of Vatican-based common ground shared by both Mexican and American governments, to enlighten you to our peaceful intentions. The unified effort of Mexican-American Catholic missions is to promote peace in your region, while only enhancing your culture. The world is rapidly turning toward world peace, and Nicaragua is way behind the times from technology and education to government ideals and religious convictions. Pope John Paul is praying diligently for peace in your region, and has joined forces with President Reagan, Mexico, and even the Soviet Union to ensure that peace. He, the Pope, knows your goals, he knows your motives." I leaned forward, almost whispering from my own instilled belief, "He knows your soul. We can all work in tandem to achieve that peace. Nicaragua, small though it may be in relation to the rest of the world, is a significant stepping stone toward unifying world powers. It can no longer be a source of contention and disagreement. Your people must be free. Free to worship God through your Holy Catholic Church. That is first and foremost on President Reagan's agenda, as well as the Pope's and President de la Madrid's. A new world order is coming into being with or without you. It is an inevitable process that cannot be stopped. A whole new world of peace awaits us all. I can see you are a peace-loving man. It emanates from your being. Blood has flowed across your land so heavily that your people are drowning in it. Together we can cauterize that wound. Replace blood flow with cash flow. Americanization can upgrade your technology at a rapid rate. Your people could compete in world markets by the turn of the century. Your future global position has already been determined by geography alone. Flow with it. Lead your people out of poverty. Educate them in a manner conducive to their destined position in world markets. Free them from their struggles that have held them captive for so long. Allow the church bells to ring with good news of peace, prosperity and freedom. You can achieve all of your goals for your country's advancement with our help. Ortega thoughtfully finished smoking a cigarette, and lit up another as he confidently replied, "Tell your president that I have seen his freedom, and listened to," his words projected through yet another example of it. He paints a beautiful picture suspended within his framework. A picture can appear serene to its beholder while it is being gazed upon. I cannot worship a graven image, and the picture he paints is just that. We have fought too hard and too long, spilling sweat and blood across this land in our determined effort to maintain human values instilled in us by our forefathers, who gained their profound wisdom from the original Catholic missionaries. These values are the same as those portrayed in President Reagan's painted picture, only ours are real. His have only surface value, like any other painting. If I were to concede, I would only be framed within me picture he paints, hung on his wall like a trophy. I will not mislead my people. In spite of his offers of wealth and position, I am true to my convictions, and when he is true to his, then we will meet on common ground and have something of substance to discuss. For now, words are only a waste of our time. Ortega put out his cigarette, and pulled back the covers on his bed. "I'll lake you somewhere pleasant." He took a well-used opium pipe slash bong off his dresser and handed me a nozzle. I had been trained to accept any drug given to me, with the only exception being the strictly forbidden marijuana. I hesitated until Ortega assured me it was opium. As the drug took effect, he said, "This could be the way to world peace." Sex with Ortega was at very least free of pain and perversion. Unlike most, I was forced to have diplomatic relations with Father Reagan administration. He fell asleep when he was through due to the difference between opium and cocaine. The honk of a jeep's horn outside awoke him. As I prepared to leave, he said, "Wait." He took a small, 1/4-inch or so ball of black opium from his personal stash, wrapped it in the cellophane from his cigarette package wrapper, and said, "Give this to your president and tell him that you and I found more peace with this substance than he'll ever impart on the surface of his painted globe." As he closed the door quietly behind me, he said, "Come back and see me when you have more to offer." I was immediately returned by plane to Washington, D.C., where my mission had originated. This time I was taken directly to Bush's office, where I delivered Ortega's message verbatim. Eliminating most of the dialogue, Bush instructed me to deliver a partial message to Reagan. Unable to perceive message content and people beyond my need to know, mind-controlled limited view, I had no concept that Ortega's message would have a negative impact. It never occurred to me that Ortega had proven himself to be as much a hypocrite as he purported Reagan to be by using me as a prostitute and messenger of bad news, knowing full well that I had no free will with which to make the message more palatable. Bush's revision of Ortega's message added fuel to a proverbial fire that I didn't even know was burning when I delivered the message to Reagan. Bush was with Reagan and me in Reagan's secondary office, to the Oval Office, of the White House as I relay the message as instructed. Daniel Ortega is a peace-loving man, who seeks the same resolutions that we do. But he told me to tell you I dug in my purse for the opium, that he and I found more peace in this substance I handed the opium to Reagan, than you'll ever impart on the surface of your painted globe. Bush smiled as Reagan's face instantly turned beet red with rage. Bush then reacted and spun up out of his chair, looked the opium for himself, and told Reagan, "Settle down. There's more." It seems the only piece she spread was between her legs. He headed for the door, saying, "I would reconsider my position if I were in your shoes considering what's filling hers." Bush dropped his gaze down the back of my legs to my shoes as he continued, "It's running down both sides of her legs. Obviously I wouldn't be subjected to sex with Reagan that day. I was quickly excused and flown back to Mexico, where I resumed my NCL cruise. With my memory of the event compartmentalized through high voltage, I believed at the time that I had never been gone at all.